God loves you even in the bad times. And it should say God loves, but that's okay. I'm aware that there's pressure on people. So many people are crying out, and it's not just one story, but it's kind of all the same thing. The enemy is just working havoc, and if they're not being attacked personally, the people they love are being attacked, or their jobs are being attacked, or their workplace. It seems like it's. People seem, a lot of them, I don't hope not all of them, think it's just a pretty trying time. I don't know about you. And so people are crying out, and a lot of times, that manifests as people acting out. And so there's just more violence, there's more arguments, there's more just about everything you can think of. It's just, people's patience is upset, and it doesn't take that much to set somebody off. And next thing you know, they're beating on somebody. And of course, we're not all hopefully physically violent, those kinds of things. But you can be violent and not be physically violent. You can just be violent and having a bad attitude, and just being hard and stuff like that. And that isn't what God wants for us. And yet the enemy is working that. And so I just want to share something with you. At the end of the day, Jesus loves you. And he loves everyone at the end of the day. So it doesn't matter how messed things up goes. Jesus hasn't withdrawn his love from the earth. And what that means, it means that everything's going to be okay. And the truth is, most of the problems that people think they have are not really problems. They're illusions. They look and they feel like problems. They hurt like problems. But they're just lies that come from the devil. For the person who thinks that they have a problem, it's real to them. For the person who's hurting, it's real to them. And you can't just tell a kid who has fallen and skinned their knee, oh, that's just the devil. And that doesn't quite work. And so because pain is real, we are to care. We do not want people to be overcome by our enemy, the devil. And so we want to be encouragers to one another. The key to victory is to not let ourselves get sidelined by our own perceived problems so that you don't have anything to share with others. And, if you're a mess yourself, it's hard to help somebody else in a mess. And you get two people together in a mess, and you just have a bigger mess. And so you don't want to be become the person. I would be more help, but I have this problem. If I had more money, I could help. If I had more time, I could help. If I weren't sick, I could help you. And so, the list just goes on and on. And that's what our enemy is doing. He is just like tying us up with all these little issues so much that it's getting where no one's getting any help. And it doesn't look good when things go that way. And so where does help come from when everyone is too busy with their own problems? Where do you find that? Well, I'm glad you ask. You can turn to Psalms chapter 121:1. I'm going to plagiarize right from the Bible today. Psalms 121, verse 1. It says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and earth. And so someone must step from the shadows of trouble. Because I think right now everybody's having troubles. Somebody has to step from the shadows of trouble and by faith put their trust in Jesus. And someone, somewhere, please do that. If we all refuse to step out in our pain because we're hurting, because things are messed up, if we all refuse to step out in our pain, then there's no hope for any of us. Don't say, I can't help, because we all must help each other. And I assure you, God is and wants to help you. He wants to help the hurting person. He wants to help the president. He wants to help everyone. He is not upset. He's willing and anxious to, I don't know if he gets anxious, but he wants to help us. He wants to help everyone deeply. Probably not the way that you think it should be, though. And that can be a problem. If God sent an angel to help you, I'm telling you that angel would not look like you think he should. He would not do what you think he should. And so you might miss that because it wasn't what you were thinking it was supposed to be like. And Jesus certainly did not look the way people thought that he should. And so if the Messiah himself comes in bodily form to the earth and doesn't look the way people think that he should, why do we think that the help the Lord wants to give us today is going to look the way we think it should? Jesus certainly did not look that way. Go with me to Luke chapter 19, verse 11. He said, this is the NIV, he says, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought. And the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. So they were looking for a physical manifestation. They were looking for the Romans to get disposed and the Jewish nation to rise again from the ashes. People were looking for something that fit their natural expectations. And when Jesus did not dispose the Romans, they turned on him and crucified him. And so we can be the same way today. You know, it's not that God doesn't want to help us, but sometimes we're just not willing to receive the help the way it looks or the way God wants to give it or the way he wants to demonstrate it. We have our own ideas about these kinds of things. People have notions what they think help looks like. And so they run around a lot to places looking for help, but somehow they never manage to find it. Go to with me to Luke chapter 19, verse 41. It says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Okay, so he was not mad. He was going there to be crucified. He was going there to be rejected. And yet he wasn't mad. He wept over Jerusalem. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now, it's hidden from your eyes. So it wasn't that God wasn't ready to fix the problem. It wasn't that he wasn't ready to bring peace. He was willing, but people weren't ready. They had to get themselves there. And so sometimes for us to realize the peace that Jesus wants us to have in our lives, sometimes, you know, God has to wait till we get there. You know, and so he's not holding back. He's not mad. He's not punishing. He's just being patient. You know, it's not that God did not want to help them. He did. Jesus wept over them. He wasn't angry. He did not call fire down from heaven on them. He said, oh man, here I come to love them and they're just going to reject me. Burn them. Burn them now. I mean, he could have done that, but that wasn't his attitude. He felt compassion because they were blind. Sometimes our friends are blind, and sometimes we're a little blind ourselves, and sometimes nations are blind. But I guarantee you that Jesus loves us and wants to help us. It was not that God did not want to help. The problem was God didn't want to help them the way they wanted to be helped. You know, God has his own plans. The problem was they did not want to receive God's help the way that God planned. They had their own designs. And it's the same today. God wants to help, but sometimes we're just blinded and people think they know how help should look. I mean, you remember back in the days when the walls of Jericho fell? I mean, you remember when that Red Sea parted? I mean, Pastor, when are you going to part the Red Sea? And then they sit and they wait for that help to come. Help does not come from city walls falling and seas parting and that kind of thing. You know, if it's the walls in your heart that need to fall, it's the seas in your heart that need to be parted. The question is not, when am I going to part the Red Sea? The question is when will we submit to God? Help is not far away. Let go of your life, your fears, and you'll find help. Jesus is standing here with his arms open. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He is never unwilling. He's never has an attitude where he says, well, you know what, you're just going to have to wait a bit for that one. I'm going to make you pay. You're going to be sorry. You know, and that's just not, he wants to help you at this very moment. Don't ask Jesus to prove himself because he's already done that. Don't say that there's no power when there's power. And don't say that there's no spirit when there's spirit. And because there is. And it's been there ever since he died on the cross for you and all of us. You know, I'm just going to tell you something. I experience Jesus every day. I hope that you do, because I'm just telling you I do. I experience his love. I experience his grace and his mercy. I need it more today than I have ever needed it. I hear his voice. I hear his leading. I see him everywhere I look. I assure you, help is near. It's very simple. Love others above yourself. Not in words, not in outward works that for show, but sincerely. And sometimes you have to work on your heart to get it to that place. I'm still working on mine. Master your own selfish desires, and you'll be set free. Jesus is not refusing to help you because I'm not tucking my shirt in. I will guarantee you that. Even your own selfishness is not a deal breaker. God has massive doses of grace for when you're selfish. Do you know how I know that? Because I'm selfish quite often. And he always meets me with grace. It's never been it'll set you back. You can pay a price for it. It won't always be fun, but Jesus still loves you. But here's the deal. Stop trying to justify it. Stop trying to get him to sign off on it. And because he's not going to. You're refusing and turning away from your help, just like the Jews did when Jesus walked into their city. And so Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to help you. He wants to keep you. He is there at any moment, any second of any day. And whenever we're ready to submit and open our hearts to him, he will help us more than we can ever imagine. Sometimes it just takes us a little time to get there. Sometimes we suffer from a little blindness. Sometimes there's some attitudes in our hearts that bother us. Sometimes it's there's all kinds of things that we don't even know about on any particular moment that Jesus is working on in our lives, but you need to trust him. He wants to get you to a good place. God told me that when I came here, he was sending me to a hard place. I remember when I first got to Creston. Everybody confirmed it. Oh, there's a cloud of darkness over Creston. Oh, you better watch out. There's a cloud of darkness. And I'm sure there is. Probably a cloud of darkness everywhere. But he told me he was sending me to a hard place, and then they let me know it was a hard place. And they'd tell me stories about Christians that came here and how they just eat their lunch. You know, they'd firebomb them or what it was. I don't know what they did. I just hear these stories. It was nutty. And I'm sure they were true, but it was, so I thought, okay, I guess I am going to a hard place. And so my question to God was, well, Lord, why would you send me there? I am a big baby. I would lie to you if I could, but I am like, I have always been a big baby. I think I got spanked one time, and I think I cried so long my parents were afraid to do it again. You know, they would just look at me and go, Doug. I'd be bawling because my whole heart would be broke, and I didn't want to disappoint anybody. And I mean, I'm just a baby. It was just, that's bad. And, you know, and so, I mean, yeah. Somebody be mean to me, and man, I'll be pouting for days. Why would you send me to a hard place? I mean, that's like, that's asking for trouble, you know. But fortunately, he put a lot of soft people around me. But anyway, and so he says, he told me, I'm going to make you hard. And he says, I'm going to make you hard like I'm hard. And people who bless you will be blessed, and people who reject you will be dashed to pieces against the rock the builders rejected. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. He says the same thing to you. If you're a Christian, you are His righteousness. You are His example on earth. You're His representation. And that's why I blessed you. And because I don't want to get sideways with God. And I don't want to exercise a different opinion than He has. And if He says you're blessed, then as far as I'm concerned, you're blessed. Anyway, that's been my life. And so I want to share one of Jesus' parables in Luke chapter 19, verse 12. You are awesome. And you are the one who puts fear in the devil. We are the ones he's afraid of. Even if you don't recognize you, I don't care if you think you're a dweeb or what you think about yourself. If you have Jesus in your heart, I'm telling you, you're what you are is beyond anyone's imagination. And if they could see what it is, they would never utter a word against you. Because, man, if the Lord's for you, who can be against you? Amen. And so thank you for His mercy and His grace when we act up and do crazy things. But I'm telling you, bless each other. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. He says, "He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. And so he called 10 of his servants, and he gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him." And now the subjects, that's not the servants that he gave the money to. This is the other servants. He says, "But the subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. And he was made king, however, and he returned home. And then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. And the first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied, 'because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and he said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' And his master said, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' And then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. Now, I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in, and you reap what you have not sown, what you did not sow.' And his master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit?'" I mean, at least put it on deposit, "so that when I come back, I could have collected it with interest. Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. And he replied, 'I tell you that everyone who has will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine, that other group, who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me.'" Notice there were wise servants. And God did not endow you with life so that you could serve yourself. God did not say, serve those you like and judge to be worthy. And because of that, religious people, they hated him for that. In the pecking order that is in our minds, since I am more worthy than they are, you should be serving me. But if you are serving them instead of me, what does that say about me? And so if you give attention to an unworthy person instead of me, I'll hate you for it. And so if you want to make someone hate you, serve someone they think is less worthy than themselves. And they'll be all over that. It's funny how we can be so self-centered sometimes in our attitudes, and you know, if we're not being treated number one. Did you ever feel jealous when someone was being recognized and you weren't? They got to be queen of homecoming, or well, I don't know, it could be any number of things. Maybe they received a promotion or a ribbon or whatever it was. Maybe it was just the pastor bringing somebody up to, as an example, and you thought, man, how come they never bring me up to be an example? Why is it always, you know? And I mean, I don't know if you ever had those kinds of thoughts. Well, I guess I'm the only one. So, yeah. So, yeah. So we're it's funny how we are. Being faithful with your minas, the life energy that God put in you is serving those God wants you to serve. All the energy you have in your life is not just for yourself. Don't just serve those that make you feel good about yourself. There is help for it. So God has piles of minas that He wants to distribute. But if you want some, you need to be faithful with the life that you have, right where you're at. Not with the life you think you should have or the life that you want. You have to start where you're at. Don't say, I cannot be faithful until I have the life I want, because you're lying to yourself. Do not excuse yourself because you only have one mina. I don't think about whether or not God is giving me my share of minas. I don't entertain that. I don't ask, you know, is he behind on his payments? I'll be honest, I feel thankful I have minas at all, because I don't deserve any. I've been ministering for 26 plus years now, and I still am amazed every week that I get to stand up and preach. I don't even know why I'm allowed to. And I just thank him. I'm thankful that I have any minas, because I don't deserve them. And I simply try to, I'm not going to go into all the reasons I don't, but I don't. And I simply try to be faithful with whatever is in my hands. And if he gives me a friend, I try to be faithful to that friend. If a friend leaves me, I don't claim that they owe me or that I own them. People are free, and what they do or don't not do is between them and God. I just try to be faithful with what God gives me. And it's just that simple. Another parable, Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? So they have a purpose. God puts mina in your life. He gives you life energy. There's a purpose for that. It will be good for that servant whose masters find him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master's staying away a long time, and then he begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. And the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour when he's not aware, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What got this guy in trouble? It wasn't because he didn't refuse to feed the world. He got in trouble because he refused to feed those he was in charge that God gave him minas for. And so if you have some life energy in you, part of that is to be a blessing to the people around you. And when we refuse to even be a blessing to those around us in the smallest way, when it's always about us and being receiving what we need or what we want, okay, then that's what gets us in trouble. It's these excuses that God hasn't given us anything, therefore I have no responsibility, I'm in need, just give to me, and those kind of things. That's what gets us into trouble. So whatever it is, I don't care if you got a lot or a tiny bit, if you just will use that faithfully for the purpose that God put it into your... I don't care if your only job is to feed the kitty cat. That's your only job. Feed the kitty cat. and you'll be good, you know. But if you have raised kids, you know that sometimes even the simplest jobs and responsibilities can be impossible to get done. And so these are lessons that we can learn about ourselves. So just take your life energies and quit whining and bawling and just start being faithful with that in the best way, and you'll be surprised what will happen in your life. The faithful and wise servant is not the one who becomes sidelined over all the issues in their life. They are the ones who try to help the unwise. Don't get an attitude about the unwise. You know, just because you woke up one day and you finally had a little light go off and you're a little wiser than you were yesterday, don't think that you're a god and now everybody that's beneath you deserves to be pounded on. Try to help others with the wisdom and knowledge that you've gained. God wants the unwise to join the ranks of the wise. Whenever someone is ready to let go of their life, join the ranks of the wise, God is there ready to empower them to help others. He can't wait to help you be more effective. Not all your biscuits are for yourself. Even if you only have one biscuit, or a part of a biscuit, some of it is for someone else. Even if there is not enough biscuits and you must be hungry, you must take turns being hungry. God wants to help the unwise, but ultimately, the help that we need is to understand that help comes from helping, not from being served. If you cannot be faithful with a biscuit, you know, if God gives you a little crumb and you go around thinking that you're the only one deserving anything, the only one in need of help instead of seeing your responsibility, then that's the foolish person, and God wants to help you. You cannot be faithful with if you can't be faithful with a biscuit, you're not going to be given a truckload of them, though. All right, and you know, and even though I'm talking about biscuits, you know, it's not enough to share a biscuit of bread. We're talking about love that's in our heart. Sharing your love is giving someone the station in your heart above the station you give yourself, and that's not always easy to do. You know, it's being able to look at someone, anyone actually, and seeing them as someone who is worthy of your sacrifice, your time, your patience, your understanding, your forgiveness, your endurance of them, whatever it may be. And, you know, and that's what that is. That's what Jesus did for us. And when you get to where you don't hold on to your station so tightly and try to want to be exalted to a higher one so that you can be above others, design yourself just to be serve the mina, take care of those that you're assigned to. You know, don't worry about your station. God will take care of your when you master that, there will not be a shortage of biscuits. If you possess the ability to deliver them, God will deliver them to you by the truckload. Trust me. And that doesn't mean sharing your lottery winnings with the church. It means putting others first in your heart. All right, so if you think because you're going to share some of your lottery winnings with the church when you win them, that's not so noble. What's noble is loving someone right now and considering them to be worthy of your love and putting them in that station. That's the hard thing. God prospers me in the word of God and in understanding because I am faithful to share it. I don't hold back out of fear. What I share may not be steak and eggs. I make no claims about that, but it may only be biscuits and gravy. But it's the best biscuits and gravy that I have. And I hope that my sincerity always comes across. It may not be steak and eggs, but I don't serve stale cereal when I have biscuits and gravy to serve. And I believe that's why God blesses me. The blessings you receive is not all about how well I preach. If you haven't figured that out yet, I thought I should tell you. A lot of your blessing is based on how you hear. And some people come and they get biscuits and gravy, best biscuits and gravy I can serve, but they leave convinced they got the finest steak ever. And he'll come up and tell you, and you try to tell him, well, what are you talking about? You know, you got that. And it was biscuits and gravy, I'm pretty sure. No, they got steak. So a miracle took place there somewhere. And others, it wouldn't matter what you served. In their mind's eyes, it's not worth being put on the table. They would rather eat from a garbage dump. And they can't remember the last time they heard an inspiring message. And so I'm just saying, you know, a lot of that has to do with us. My point is this: God is not solely dependent upon me to bless you. He wants us to be blessings to each other. And I believe that more and more all the time. He wants all of us to reign as kings and princes. He wants to bless us more than we will allow him. But for the most part, the help Jesus wants to give to you is dependent upon your willingness to receive it. And you just don't need to be blaming him or think that he is not anxious to help your situation. If it's all about you and your desires, your agenda, your opinion, your way of looking at things, you're not going to receive much. Because it usually just doesn't come the way you think. But God is not mad at you. Okay, you can know that. You might be mad at you. He will wait until we're ready to let him fix our hearts. And I find whenever I get into the mood to that spot, he is more than willing to help me out. Sometimes I just don't want to be helped out in that moment. Just let me roll around there and for a little bit longer, and then when I finally get sick of it, he'll help me. But as soon as we're ready, he's all over it. I don't know how anyone can go through the troubles that we have all faced in these last days and think that life will go the way that they want or planned. And if you haven't figured that out yet, I don't know what's going on. And if you're still waiting for to wake up tomorrow and reading the news, it's all well. Everything has been turned around, and you got the president you want, and COVID's over, and you got all the money you need, and all those people that were pains in your side, they're gone, and suddenly everybody loves you, and all of those. I don't know. Anyway, he said that God has a wonderful life for each of us. He wants you to have a wonderful life. It simply looks different than what we would normally think. And so peace is yours. It just doesn't come the way you might expect it. There is a natural peace that comes from nice weather. And that's the peace that most of us want or look for, or that we understand. But there's also peace that you can have in a storm. And that's supernatural peace. And so that peace is even better. But, you know, if all you will look for is peace in the weather and not peace in the storm, if all you will look for is natural peace and never for supernatural peace that comes from the Lord himself, then you're probably not going to have too much peace. But I'm telling you, he does have peace for you. If you're ready to accept what God has for you and trust him and be faithful regardless of the things you see and feel, I'm telling you, you should be excited about the coming days. This is your time. These are the days that are designed for you. These are the times that you can rise up and excel when no one else can. Because all the things that work for the world, all the devices that they use, all the things they depend upon are falling down and they're failing them and they don't know what to do. And so this is a time for a Christian, a believer, who simply has the gumption to trust Jesus to rise up. and to do the unusual things and to stop living in fear and selfishness and all of those things. Just give your life to Jesus 100% and let Him take you on a ride. And if it's in a boat ride across a stormy sea, you don't need to be worried about it, because you just will climb to the front of the boat and take a nap on the hammock, because you're going to be okay. You're a champion, and that's going to be the end result of it. But you can live in a total crazy place every day with all the drama and the fear and the upset and the gut-wrenching and all of those kinds of things if that's the life you want to choose. But I'm telling you, there's another life to choose. And it's supernatural life. It may not look like the life that you thought you should have or want, but I'm telling you, God is there and He wants to help you. And this is our hour, and that's how it's going to go down. And I hope you all choose to trust Jesus and love Him. Father God, I thank You so much for Your word, Your love, how wonderful You are. Father, may we always be quick to see You, to understand You, to reach out to You, to give our hearts to You. Lord, may we surrender our own notions, our own vanity, our own thoughts, Lord. We open ourselves to hear from You in however You want to speak to us. Lord, speak to us today that we might be encouraged, that we might know that You love us and care for us. Thank You, Lord, for showing us our hearts, for examining us, for bringing things to the light. Lord, we thank You so much that You love us. Lord, that You've never forsaken us. You've never put us down. You've never been upset, punished us. You always just try to help us. Help us to go to a better place and a great place. Father, I thank You that all Your saints will one day stand in front of Your throne without a complaint, with only thanks in their lips, realizing that You were always the God of grace and mercy, the God that cared, that every step, everything that happened was for their benefit because You loved them so much. Father, thank You for Your grace and Your mercy in our lives. Father, we pray for the world and the distress, that we might be the examples to them of what it's like to live fearlessly in faith, to understand what it is to have peace when everything is so crazy. People are running around surrendering and giving up and quitting when they should be rising up and living. Father, I thank You that we have vision to see the times that we live in, to know the opportunity that belongs to us, that we might rise and shine now during this time, supernaturally, with the power that You give from us. Let it shine in our countenance, our words, the way that we live, our love, Lord, for the unlovable, for our willingness to consider others better than ourselves. May they know that we belong to You because of our love. And we give You praise for it, Lord, that we not just teach these things and talk about these things and read about these things, but Lord, that these things become a part of our life every day, that they become who we are. Lord, that we shine brightly more than any generation that's ever been alive, that we learn how to love more than any generation that's been alive, that we learn how to surrender ourselves to deeply care for one another. Thank You, Lord, for setting us free from ourselves, from our fears, that we might live a more glorious life. And we give You praise for today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you so much.